Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ain't nobody got nobody like Texas A&M.
I can't say that I'm not going to ride a motorcycle again.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
You heard the man, Buffalo Wild Wings, New Caney, $59.99. You can't miss this. Come on through and grab you a cold beer, grab you a bite to eat. Got a little raffle going on here. Got a Texas Star Grill Shop gift card as well as a couple sets of Bud Light Cornhole boards here for you. So come on through, get your name in the raffle, and grab you a cold beer and have you an afternoon. And B. Scott is in for Ron the Show Hughley. And it's time, baby. Danny Cannell, he joins us courtesy of Bet Online. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff, Heisman, and college football week 8 lines. Danny, how you doing, man? Yo.
Danny.
Yo.
Danny.
Did Danny lose his voice?
Let me work on this, boys. One sec.
One of the best things that Danny does is, maybe not the best, but a lot on his, he's a great follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
But his top tens are always real interesting. I got to get his top 10 currently. There's always a little controversy built in there, and that last one I saw was a couple of weeks ago. Hell, I think he had Indiana as number one before.
Oh, okay.
Before Indiana won at Oregon, I believe.
So he's a Cignetti guy, and he's an Indiana guy. You know, obviously he's a Florida State guy. We know that, of course, with Danny Cannell. But he is buying into – I mean, how about – what a story, man. Honestly, Indiana, and we can talk to Danny about
Danny,
this.
Danny, you with us?
Oh, let's
yes,
see.
I am. What's up, fellas? How we doing?
There he is. Once again, my man Danny Cannell is live and on the line. Baby, what's going on?
Not much, man. Just loving this college football season. It's been a wild ride so far. We're past the midway point, and I think it's only going to get a little bit crazier as we come down the home stretch, man. It's been awesome.
Danny, what is your – I see, obviously, great follow on Twitter. I see your rankings there. There's always a little controversy tied into it, or at least it stirs up some mess. But what is your top 10 right now? Who you got in the top 10?
So I have Indiana, and so I like to do mine, Clint. I like to do mine based on resume, because all the time we hear about, oh, who do we think are the best teams? Like last week, a lot of people, myself included, thought Oregon was the best team in the country, but then they go out and they lose. So I try to really defer to the resume, and I think Indiana has the best resume in the country with the win that they had on the road at Oregon, pretty much dominating that game. You know, even with a pick six by their quarterback and still able to win 30-20, that was super impressive. Not to mention, they beat an Illinois team who was, you know, 4-2, an Illinois team that beat USC. They beat them 63-10. I mean, they are dominant. And then I have Ohio State right behind them, where I'd readily admit Ohio State would probably be favored. They're probably, and I have no problem with them being the number one team in the country. And then I have the Miami Hurricanes, who really went through their biggest gauntlet the first five games of the season, and they go through it unscathed. I do think those are the three top teams in the country. And then I have A&M right behind them. They're knocking on the door. If they start keep stacking up these big wins, they'll be right there at the end of the season where they need to be. So I have Bama and I have A&M as the top two teams in the SEC, with a slight edge to Bama because I feel like their resume is just a little bit better. Even with the loss to Florida State, been impressed with some of their wins on the road in Athens and Columbia. And they have a big test this weekend. But, yeah, I'm a little bit all over the map, but that's probably my top-tier teams in the country right now.
Before we get into some of these local teams, since you do have Indiana at the top, I just want to know what you make of what Indiana's been able to do over the last year and a half, 2 years, however long it's been, how they've done it, what it looks like, the product on the field. I don't know if any of us thought we'd live long enough to see Indiana be this type of football program, but from your vantage point, how have they done it and what do you make of how they've done it?
Well, obviously, it starts with a great coach, right? And Kurt Cignetti, he loves to say it. He loves to say, Google me. But if you go look at his resume, he's won everywhere he's been, starting in Division II. Then he goes to small Elon in North Carolina. Then he goes to James Madison and competes for titles there. And then he comes into Indiana. And by the way, he brought 14 players with him from James Madison last year with him to Bloomington. So he did pick some of the best players that he had. And then they have actually some resources. It's not like the Indiana of old where they just had no chance. They weren't, you know, they weren't going to give you any money under the table. But with the portal and NIL, they actually have a pretty good NIL collective where they've gotten pretty good support. So they could pay Kurt Cignetti last year $9 million. So he didn't leave. So they could go out and get a quarterback like Fernando Mendoza, who I thought was one of the top quarterbacks on the market. So they could go add some pieces to a team that was already pretty solid. And then, you know, it kind of all comes together, and there is an amazing power in great coaching, but more importantly, belief. And he's really got instilled an incredible amount of belief and confidence in his program that they can beat anybody in the country. And the thing that resonated with me this offseason, he was really irritated that people told him, oh, you guys didn't belong in the playoff, and you guys got embarrassed by Notre Dame, and you guys got embarrassed when you played Ohio State. So getting that win for them against a program like Oregon, who really does have top-tier, elite-level talent, I thought that was a huge kind of signature win for Kirk Cignetti this season to kind of really put a stamp on what they did last year.
So with all that said, does he take the Penn State job?
I think it's either him or Matt Rhule. I do. And I think either one of those probably make a lot of sense. The one thing about Matt Rhule, having played there, you know, there's a lot of ties to Penn State. If he can go there and bring his quarterback with him, Dylan Raiola, who was, you know, a five-star recruit who's played really well in his first year and a half there, then I'm like, slam dunk, go do it. The thing I don't know, and I never know about these coaches, is kind of what their personal goals are. Like, does Kirk Cignetti want to do something that's never been done before at Indiana, even though it might be harder to get there because you still are going to have go against teams that have a little bit better resources like Ohio State, Michigan, and potentially Penn State? Or do you go to the elite level job like Penn State, get all the resources in the world, and try to take them to the next level? His buyout is not cheap, though, because of that new deal last year. Matt Rhule's is actually a little bit more manageable. But Penn State keeps telling people, we're going to get our guy no matter what. If it's not those two, though, Clint, I do wonder what direction they go and how quickly it can kind of spiral out of control like we've seen at other schools. I mean, I remember the Florida Gators were in the coaching search, and they were going to get John Gruden, and then they were going to get Scott Frost, and then they were going to get somebody else. Next thing you know, they're down to Billy Napier, who was probably their fifth or sixth choice, and now we see the results of it. So it's always a little bit of a buyer beware when you make these type of moves. I think it was an emotional decision. I don't know why you had to do it so early in the season. Why not let it play out a little bit? But I get it. It was ugly. It felt like maybe it needed a change. But now all eyes are going to be who the next guy is there.
Well, see, I'm curious, though, because back when you played at Florida State, when Clint was at Arkansas, obviously Penn State was considered and was a better football head coaching job than Indiana. But I am curious from you in this new age. You talked about the NIL and the collective that Indiana has there, and just kind of the transfer portal, the new landscape of college football as we know it. Are we sure that Penn State still is a better job than Indiana, given what Cignetti has been able to do with the Hoosiers?
Yes, I think so. And the fact, but I think it's closer than people think, which is a testament to kind of how quickly we've changed in this landscape. The one thing that Penn State does have is they've got an environment that is almost unmatched. When they have a whiteout and that home field advantage, it is one of the best stadium environments in college football. It is a fan base that will show up. That has not always been the case in Indiana. I've even asked Indiana people, you know, even earlier this season, hey, how's the crowd going to be when Illinois comes there? And they're like, well, we think we'll be pretty full. And that's just something that, and maybe they could capture it. Maybe they could build that. But it's just something that's so ingrained in Penn State historically that you really don't have to go that far. I think you've got better access to players at Penn State. Being in the state of Pennsylvania, you know, being able to kind of get that Northeast corridor, even dip down in the South, I think it's easier to recruit there. Now, there is money involved, and if all things are equal, you know, could you match somebody in Indiana? I think there's always kind of a negative aspect of it being a traditional basketball school that kind of goes against you. So I still think Penn State is the better job, but I think it's much closer than people think, which is really a testament to the changing times.
Danny joins us courtesy of BetOnline. Check out BetOnline.ag for updated college football playoff, Heisman, and college football week 8 lines. Danny, let's shift gears a little bit and bring it home here in the state of Texas. Man, there's some really good college football being played, obviously, around these parts. You mentioned Texas A&M earlier, and we can't have you on with Tyler, our producer, back at the studio. We cannot have you on and not get you riled up about these Aggies, man. You think this is a year?
I do, although I do think this weekend is a very interesting spot for the Aggies, because we've seen a lot of teams this year be kind of christened as that elite level. And the one place that has still remained true, and it doesn't matter if it's in the SEC, wherever you are, going on the road is a little bit tricky. So I think this Arkansas team is pretty dangerous, Clint. I mean, they can get things going. They did have Tennessee on the ropes last week. Now they come back home. I think Bobby Petrino's got a really good quarterback in Taylen Green that just could be problematic. Now, he's highly erratic, so it could get sideways, and you might see what happened against Notre Dame, where Texas A&M just comes in there, puts their foot down, and all of a sudden it's a blowout. But if Taylen Green is hot, that's what kind of concerns me. So I do think that's an interesting spot, but I do think Texas A&M clearly, and if they are a favorite in this game for a reason. They've got that signature win, which they got in South Bend. That was one of the best wins of the season. A game against Auburn was a little bit ugly, and then you kind of take care of business in that 2 weeks. They're just kind of humming along, and if they keep passing each one of these tests, they're going to find themselves in the college football playoff. I mean, I think any SEC team that's 10-2 is probably going to be automatically in, and they're already, you know, halfway there to getting it. There's that great rivalry game, which they play against Texas in Austin. I still like them way better than I like the Longhorns. So, yeah, I think he absolutely, your producer, should be fired up about his Aggies. Just make sure they don't get caught sleeping this weekend. That, or, you know, that game in Fayetteville could get interesting.
Danny, at the risk of firing up our producer T-Mill a little bit more, I do want to talk about this defense, because the Aggies' defense has been incredible on third down. They have allowed opponents to convert only 2 of 33 third down opportunities in their 3 SEC games so far this season. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing from this Aggie defense and how much that has contributed to them being so high up on your list and obviously being the number 4 ranked team in the country.
For sure. I think there's a couple things. One, I love that Mike Elko took ownership of the defense this offseason. You know, things went a little bit sideways last year. He's a defensive-minded coach. So he says, all right, I'm going to get my fingerprints all over this defense. I'm going to start taking over. The other thing that you got to have is you got to have some dogs out there that can get after the passer. And Cassius Howell has been an absolute terror, you know, coming off the edge. He leads the SEC in sacks with 7.5. That's too clear of the next closest guy. They've been flat out getting after it. They were a little bit sloppy earlier, but now they've cleaned up some of the penalties. They've been playing even better. But I think that's what makes this team special, is they've been very complimentary football. Defense is aggressive. They've got a great defensive line. And the offense has the ability to get it done in a run game with some depth there. We all knew about Le'Veon Moss coming into the season. Reuben Owens has been a nice surprise developing as a 1-2 punch. And then Marcel Reed can get it done. And he's improved as a passer, like he told everybody he was going to do. He's been more consistent, which has been much needed. And I think he's really thriving in Colin Klein's system. So I think they're really the total package. It's just one of those things where do they kind of stay focused, take it one step at a time, and make sure they don't get clipped on one of these games that they're supposed to win? Because, I mean, I'm looking at it. I think they're probably going to be favored probably most of the remaining games of the season, maybe against Missouri, but I think Missouri could get beat this weekend at Auburn. So I think A&M probably going to be favored every game this season.
I love the thought there. I feel the same way with A&M. If they just don't lose focus and get clipped, I mean that is buying Arkansas. Or you know, I was thinking the same thing with Florida. And you know, in the past, when they've had a team that you thought was a national contender, they'd get clipped by a team that had no business being on the field with them, at least when you look at the roster. So I agree, Danny. How about Texas, man? Let's talk about them Longhorns, man. I mean, obviously a little bit of a roller coaster here with the two losses early, and then they convincingly win last week versus OU, and then the obvious Arch Manning, you know, I guess drama or however you want to couch it to this point, man. Just your thoughts on what's going on in Austin.
So I think the last time I talked to you guys, I kind of told you that Arch, because this has been my thought process all season long, I thought it was going to be a roller coaster ride for Arch. I've seen it happen a lot of different times. I don't care how many stars you have, what your last name is. It's just your first time being the starter at a big brand where the expectations are unbelievably unobtainable. And it was even more so with Arch because of his last name. But I was like, man, I don't think anybody's going to be able to match those. Then, of course, they lose to Ohio State. Next three games are a little bit bumpy. You lose at Florida. And then all of a sudden, when people started to say, oh, is he going to be a bust? Is he a flop? I'm like, everybody needs to calm down because he's going to be fine. I thought it was a crisis of confidence a little bit when he's playing against UTEP and struggling. Then he bounces back with that big game against Sam Houston. I think the biggest problem against Florida was the defense didn't show up when they went to Florida Field there in Gainesville. And he played pretty good, did have a couple interceptions, but you started to see some glimpses of big-time throws. He started seeing the field a little bit better, and then he comes back, and I think he's had his signature game so far as a Texas Longhorn. And while it wasn't great, it wasn't like a Heisman-worthy performance, there were some subtle things that he did in that game, avoiding pressure, making big plays, not making the big mistake, and really stepping up as a leader for that team, I thought was massive for him. So I still think the bumpy ride continues. I didn't think Texas was going to make the playoffs coming into the season. I still think they probably have another slip-up this season. I think they could lose to Georgia on the road. I think they could lose to A&M in that final game of the season. So I think they're 9-3 just outside. But then I think the good news is you've laid your foundation because Arch Manning wasn't the only new piece. There's a lot of new pieces on that offensive line that have struggled. The defense is still young. I think next year is the year you kind of load up on Texas as a national champion favorite with Arch returning and really taking a big step forward after he's been through all these bumps and bruises.
All right, what about them boys up in Lubbock, man? They are making a run here, and I think there's a lot of talk about them and making a college football playoff run and being a real, you know, contender for a championship. I can't leave them guys out as we're talking here. What's your thoughts on Texas Tech?
Yeah, and I shouldn't either. I left them out of that conversation early. I had them sixth in the country, so I think they're absolutely all that they've been cracked up to be. And it was an interesting experiment that took place, right? They went out there and basically bought, you know, all these players to come in. And I was very curious, how would they come together? How would they, you know, football is a team sport. As you know, you got to gel together. You got to be on the same page. And boy, have they ever been there and done that. And they really have dominated every single opponent. And it does start, again, a couple edge rushers off the edge. David Bailey from Stanford transfer, Romello Height, transfer in from Georgia Tech, two of their big prize gets in the transfer portal. They have delivered. They've been dominant. And even when Baron Morton, who did get banged up again, I know there's some question mark whether he's playing this weekend. I mean, they lost him against Utah, and Will Hammond stepped in, and all of a sudden, you know, didn't miss a beat. Will Hammond might have to play this week. I think Baron Morton, there's still some question mark whether he goes, but I do think that defense travels. And this is really, you know, their schedule still are some bumps, but I think this is probably the biggest test they have remaining. They do have to go to Kansas State. That's a tricky game, but I still think that they're not quite as good as Arizona State is. So I do think if you said of all these teams, there's two that I feel most confident that are going to reach the college football playoff, and it's Miami because they've already been through their tougher games and it's kind of a cruise control to the finish, and Texas Tech because I just think they're that much better than the teams in the Big 12. And even if they do lose to Arizona State, I don't see them losing two more. So I see them probably winning the Big 12 and getting into the college football playoff. So Miami and Texas Tech, I think, are the two teams that I'm already almost in Sharpie on a college football playoff bracket.
Sharpie, huh? Danny, that's good stuff as usual, man. Let the people know. I know you got a lot going on, man. Let the people know real quick where they can find you and what you got going on.
Always, that's a fun follow, right, Clint? I mean, I can be a little obnoxious on there. At Danny Cannell on the Cover 3 podcast, Dusty and Dan in the Morning on Sirius XM on Channel 84, all over the place. Man, I got too many jobs. I got mouths to feed at home still.
Hey, make that money.
Hey, we can relate, can't we, Clint?
Ain't that the truth, man?
Mouths to feed over here too, man.
Make that money. Danny, we appreciate you, man. Appreciate it again.
You guys are awesome. Great catching up.
You bet, man. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff, Heisman, and college football week 8 lines. Danny always joins us courtesy of Bet Online. All right, y'all, look, I didn't think I could possibly like J.J. Watt more than I already do, but he lit PFF's ass up, and I absolutely love it. There's some good J.J. Watt audio, and then we'll discuss these advanced stats and all that's going on in pro sports, college sports, and across the board. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
16.
Former Pizza Hut delivery driver, J.J. Wong.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, come on through, 59 and 99, hang out with us. They got... I know they got some old tender, they got a tender special, don't they? Got tender and wings special. Buy one, get one free or something like that going on. Come on through and grab you a cold beer. The beer is cold, no doubt about it. The Bud Light girls are here. Big shout out to Bud Light for making it happen. Also, Texas Star Grill Shop. We've got a gift card to give away there. If you hadn't put your name in the raffle yet, come on up. Shay will take care of you. Put your name in that raffle. We will, about 4 o'clock, we'll make that first pull there and give away probably that gift card right there. We'll do that. We'll do that first. Brandon Scott is in for Ron the Show Hughley. It is a Thirsty Thursday, Monday night Texans game. So we've got a couple extra days here to talk Texans. But before we get into a little deeper into the Texans, I got to take a little break from it. And there's some arguments. There's some drama going on around the football world.
A little spicy.
Well, I mean, I'm going to tell you about J.J. Watt and PFF, which I absolutely love. I didn't think I could love J.J. Watt any more than I already do. But I'm just reading there in the break. Apparently, Troy Aikman, Caleb Williams, and Ben Johnson, there's a little drama there with Troy Aikman and not stroking O'Caleb Williams' performance last Monday night enough, I guess.
Looked like a little mix-up, maybe a miscommunication or lack thereof, but – you know, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck did the Monday night game that Caleb Williams and the Bears just faced the Washington Commanders in just a few nights ago. But, you know, they have these pre-production meetings ahead of these games where you're supposed to be able to yuck it up a little bit or at least have some kind of access to the key figures on both sides, on both teams, and certainly the quarterback. And you would figure somebody with Troy Aikman's pelts on the wall and cachet wouldn't have much trouble getting a hold of a Caleb Williams and vice versa. And apparently those two fellas did not connect, did not communicate ahead of this game. And it was not lost on Bears fans that Troy Aikman was especially critical of one Caleb Williams' performance in said game. And so there's a little bit of tit for tat trying to figure out, hey, is Troy Aikman mad because he was shunned by the young fella? Are Bears fans being sensitive about Troy Aikman's critique? Yep. Where is all of this coming from? It's an odd space to be in, definitely.
Well, it's interesting because I mean I know Troy. I mean one thing he's not going to do is lack professionalism. I mean he's one of very few guys in that analyst world, in that color commentary world, that isn't afraid to be critical of players or plays or coaches or teams, and so he's always on. You know, I think tiptoeing the line every now and then, but it's interesting.
I would say too, in Troy's defense, a lot of the criticisms he was having of Caleb Williams were fair ones, and I can see how if you're looking at it from a Bears lens, you're like, oh man, Troy, what's the deal? some of Caleb Williams' completions, Troy's like, hey man, you give him a better ball, he can go run with it.
Which is
Troy's a quarterback. You're a quarterback. Yeah. Y'all understand the difference between just a completion and a good ball.
Well, if you watch Caleb Williams, I mean, they're wide open. I mean, Ben Johnson is dialing them up, man, left and right. There's two or three every game where he's just flat out missing folks. So that is very, very fair criticism. But anyway, on the J.J. Watt front, J.J. Watt apparently is not a big fan of PFF, Pro Football Focus. They do a lot of – I mean, it's obviously a data company, really, and that's geared around
nerds.
College football, right? But it's college football, it's NFL, it's – heck, they're fixing to move into the soccer realm is what I've heard worldwide. And so they are a highly respected, a stat data company, if you will. And J.J. Watt is not a big fan of their player grades that appear on the telecast as games are being played. Here's J.J. Watt on McAfee talking about PFF.
I'm getting hot. Personal stories of Uber drivers telling NFL passengers that they break down film for PFF and that they watch the TV copy only and put a grade out after the game. You can't watch film on the TV copy and create a grade. You can't break down a person's grade and know what they're supposed to do if you don't know their exact assignment. Like D-Butt just said, I know defensive line play unbelievably well. I could not go and grade a game for a player and give him a definitive grade without speaking to him, his coach, the scheme, everything. It's just a fact. PFF has a ton of great stuff. Player grading sucks. Stop putting it out.
Hell yeah! And a boy, Jay.
Well done, Jay.
Well done.
He is apparently not a fan of the player grades. Now, I don't know how true it is that Uber drivers are actually doing some of the film watching for PFF. I would imagine that is not true. But Chris Collinsworth has responded, by the way, look, we invite anybody and everybody out to see what we do, to sit in and watch everything that we do. And he said we've had a few coaches come out and watch. Two of them have tried to buy into the company. One could afford it. One of them couldn't. They got teams that call them when it's draft time. They got teams that call them when they need a free agent.
Yeah.
And so clearly there is some value in what PFF brings to the table. I got a real problem with just like a real chip on my shoulder with just advanced stats and stuff like this anyway.
So not just the grades, but the advanced stats overall?
I don't care too much about the grades. Kind of like J.J., you know, obviously it's a hot-button topic for him. He cares about the grades. I understand what he's saying is if you don't know what scheme it is, if whoever's watching that film doesn't know – what that player is trying to accomplish, I don't know how you can be qualified to actually give him a real grade, right?
Yeah.
So my bigger problem with it is, and I guess it's somewhat like what JJ's talking about, is I don't know how you get there. Like when I remember when the whole Jadeveon Clowney thing, when he was leaving Houston, and I used to get into it with people about Jadeveon Clowney, and then somebody'd come hit me in the face, oh, he's the most double-team player in the NFL.
What does that mean?
So, at that point, you say, what constitutes a double-team?
Right, well, fair enough.
If one offensive lineman just touches him on his way out, or is it, I'm like, how do you get to the double-team?
Yeah.
And so I really, like, that's why I just don't use advanced stats to that degree, because I don't know exactly, whoever's putting that information into that system, I don't know how they're determining what is a double team or not a double team.
Yeah.
What is a double when a receiver's double covered? Like, does that just mean the safety is covered too and the safety's shaded over the top? Or are they truly bracketing this guy and doubling? So that's my problem with this advanced stat world we live in, is I don't know who's doing it and I don't know what the criteria is to get to that point.
Yeah.
So that's what bothers me about it.
Yeah, and I think that with football, so we're in an advanced stats world, not just in sports, but just in the society in general. But I think football is the hardest one to capture this. And to pro football focuses credit, PFF's credit, they probably do a better job than most. And obviously Chris Collinsworth played the game. He's got a lot of smart football people over there running things for him and with him at PFF. But to your point, there are just too many moving parts and too many factors to definitively say, hey, this player messed up this play or this was a double team. A perfect example, if we bring it to the Texans, would have been some of the C.J. Gardner-Johnson stuff, right? Like some of the film that was possibly on C.J. Gardner-Johnson reflected poorly on other players because of the position he was putting them in. So Kamari Lassiter gets beat on a play, or it looks like Kamari Lassiter gets beat on a play because he's the one that's in the frame. He's the one that's in the TV copy that you would be using to put out those immediate grades, right?
Yep.
Before you get a chance to look at the all 22 and get every angle of the play. And if you don't know what the assignment was or what the coverage was, to your point and to JJ's point, if you don't know what they were actually supposed to be doing, then you don't know that you're actually supposed to indict C.J. Gardner-Johnson in that play because he was supposed to be covering that particular player or that particular area of the field. And so you need some of these nuances provided to you in order to give an informed take, and it's hard to do that when you're trying to give an immediate grade, immediate analysis, instant reaction, which is the society we live in. And this is the point I want to make about the grades and PFF in general. And, you know, I understand JJ's on his soapbox, and I get it. And for a lot of former players, it's frustrating. But this is the world we live in, the media economy, where, hey, it's got to be instant. We don't have time to really break down the film like an actual film watcher would do and be able to, you know, have a back and forth with maybe another film watcher and say, well, do you think that's the actual coverage, the one that we maybe thought when we first saw the play? Yeah. Or once we look at it from the All-22, do we have a different perspective? You don't have as much time for that. And so in such a microwave society, you get some sloppiness, some incomplete grades, if you will. So I think it's a fair critique, but it's also the times that we live in.
All right, head coach of your Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans, he is coming up next right here on Sports Radio.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate, and they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Go 16.
Take the drive.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. T-Mills on the ones and twos behind the glass. We are up in New Caney. Buffalo Wild Wings, 59 and 99. Come on through and hang out with us. Got a couple of things to raffle off. By the way, we will give away our first item in the next break. At the 4 o'clock break, we'll do that coming up. But between now and then, we got to hear from the Texans head coach, D'Amico Ryans.
Present for offensive linemen, and what are some of the things that are unique about how they approach rushing the passer?
The Seahawks defense line is definitely the strong group of their team, right? They rely on their D-line to get after the quarterback, and they can do it without pressure. They do a really good job of just executing their stunts. I think when you want to run the games and the stunts, you got to have guys who can really pry it open. And they got big guys inside who can really play fast off the ball, really penetrate and open it up for guys to, you know, create havoc up the middle of the pocket. So we just have to be aware of where they're aligned. We got to be aware, and we got to finish. That's the main thing. Like, it's not going to be anything that we haven't seen before. We just have to be on it. We have to be able to communicate, and we have to be able to just strain to finish.
When it comes to Sam Darnold, some of the things you saw from him last year when he has time to operate, what do you see from him as a pocket passer?
Sam has done a great job this year of hitting his targets. A very explosive offense, you know, one and foremost because he's able to deliver the football at all three levels of the football field. Right, does a really nice job of throwing the ball deep. JSN did a really nice job making plays on the football as well. So, and they protect it well. So he's done a good job of, you know, spreading the ball around, making good decisions with the football, and that's why he's, you know, been having a really good year.
That might have been in college, so he might not have been around here much. Do you have any memories of him, and what do you like about, or what do you respect about what he's done with that offense?
And Clint's done a nice job at all the places he's been, you know, starting in Minnesota, then on to New Orleans. Like, he's done a really nice job of, when it comes to just implementing that scheme, right? He's very he has the history of the scheme. You know, he's evolved it, and to make it fit to each place he's went to, he made it fit the players that he has. But you could tell just the genesis of the scheme, where they're running off the ball outside zone. They do a really nice job. The O-line does a nice job. The backs are doing a nice job of staying on track, right? And the one thing I would say is the way he marries up his play-action pass game is really tough to defend. So he's done a really nice job there. And he always has, you know, those outlier. So he has some good scheme plays as well each week. It doesn't look exactly the same each week, so he does a really nice job of game planning for who he's going against.
You talk a lot about the eyes being really important. With the way they run and what they do with play action, does that make this even more important this week?
This is a huge eye game for us, whether it's the eye discipline starting in the pass coverage, right, making sure we're exactly where we're supposed to be, and also in the run game. They do a really nice job making it look the same. So our second-level defenders, safeties, nickels, linebackers, they have to do a really nice job of really keying and diagnosing the plays. That's understanding what they're getting, understanding formations and setups so they can play fast, right? And then at the end of the day, whatever happens, you make the right decision and you got to go make the play. And that's been my message to our guys this week. Like, even if you know where they're going, you got to be able to make the play. And that's what this game is going to be about. Two good teams, competing, really good environment that we're going into. And it's going to be about which team makes the most plays.
From an offensive standpoint, C.J. Stroud and the guys, they got into a rhythm. How much do you feel like that's something that can carry over regardless of the week off?
Each week starts over for me. It's about how you prepare for the given week, right? Whatever happened, whatever has happened in the past, it really doesn't matter. Like, how are you preparing this week? How are you executing this week? Like, that's the only thing that matters. If you continue to execute well, we'll be in a good spot to make some plays.
The way he's playing, what are you seeing from him, the way he's playing?
CJ's doing a nice job just being decisive, taking what's there, getting the ball out to a lot of different guys, making really good decisions. That's what is allowing him to play well for us.
What are, like, some of the benefits I see a lot with you guys, defense, some guys around the league, where you're kind of reading the routes, I believe you're reading the routes versus necessarily watching the quarterback so then they can pass things off and things of that nature. What are just some of the benefits of that, and how much does that stress communication?
For us defensively, it's all about communication. No matter what coverage we're running, it'll be about guys being on the same page, all seven guys in the back end. When we're on the same page and guys understand how each other are playing and we're able to play off of each other, like, it's going to be tough to complete the football on us. So, I'm pleased with where our guys are in their communication. They've grown. They've done a really nice job, and we have to go do it on Monday night.
You can go first.
As coach, you've had two late bye weeks, this one being early. Was there something you were able to do that you weren't really able to do so late in the season, like your first 2 years, and how it was different?
This bye week has been the same for us. We came in, we got a couple days of work in, and we let the guys just, get out of here just to recharge, reset. So it's nothing different. It's just a matter of now when you have a bye week, every team has to fight this. Having a bye week is how do you get back into football, right? Making calls, right? Throwing and catching the football, tackling, those fundamental things of football that you miss for a few days. It's like, how quickly can you get back to that and execute that on game day?
About how hard of a worker Xavier Hutchinson is. At what point, maybe this offseason, early in the regular season, did you think he might be able to step up in an increased role that y'all needed him for?
Hutch has done a great job. It was all offseason, just watching the way he worked, especially in training camp, watching him make play after play in training camp. He just proved and he showed that confidence in camp, and he showed that he was deserving of more opportunities, and he's the same guy he's always been. He's just did a really nice job of just continuing to develop and evolve as a player, and that's what you expect from young players. You expect to see the growth, and Hutch is definitely representing what it looks like to be a pro, growing in your, year three. That's what it looks like.
Byron Murphy has been one of the more productive guys out of the inside getting to the quarterback. What do you see from him?
Byron is a really great player. I really, really like Byron coming out of Texas. He's a really, stout player, but not just stout, big defensive tackle, right? He plays with explosiveness and quickness. I think that's what makes him a really good player. He runs sideline to sideline, so he's not just a one-trick player. Like, he can stop the run. He can be effective in the passing game as well. He does a good job executing the stunts. Him and Leonard Williams on the inside, they do a really good job playing off of each other. So there's no downs off with either one of those guys. We got to work. We know they're great players, and we got to outwork them.
What are the challenges of guarding a target-dominant player like Jackson Smith and Jacob when, you don't want to pay too much focus to him, where it's taking,
putting the rest of the defense in vulnerable positions, but you want to pay the proper focus to him because of what he's done so far this season.
Yeah, whoever we play, it's about us playing our defense, right? They have great players on their offense. Like, we got to be able to account for everyone. So we'll play our defense the right way. Everybody be on the same page, communicate well, go make plays on the football when the ball is up in the air.
Coach, how much did you see your team come together as a cohesive unit after they went through that 0-3 start, coming through that adversity? How much did you see them start to bond together?
You know, it's, to me, we lost some games. We lost some tough games. It wasn't a big meeting or guys having to do something different to come together. Honestly, we needed to finish better. Right, and that's what it looked like. It's just guys executing better, finishing better, protecting the football better, taking the football. It's just the fundamentals of football, right? That's what allows you to be on the winning side of games. And when we do those things well, like, we have a better chance of winning the games. When you do things that it's losing football, when you're not protecting the ball, right, when you're giving up explosives or you're not communicating in the back end and you're giving up – you know, uncontested catches, like, those are the things that get you beat. So when we just buckled down and did the things that we're supposed to do, that put us in position to have a chance to actually, you know, win the football game. Now, you still have to go out and finish, and it'll be the same thing this week. We got to play clean football against a really good opponent, like, who's their coach really well. I mean, I can't say enough about this team and how well coached they are. I think Mike has done a really great job with them from the offensive side, and Kubiak, what he's done, Mike with the defense. Those guys are playing outstanding. And then nobody's talked about this a lot, but their special teams unit is the best special teams unit, you know, in the NFL. Guys flying around on their coverage units, they're playing physical, they're flying around. In the return game, they're explosive. They're getting the ball out to midfield, got a ton of yards on return. So we're going to have our hands full, not just offensively or defensively, special team as well. It's going to be a really fun game, and we're excited to go up against these guys. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that is D'Amico Rhines, your Texans head coach, speaking to the media on today, Thursday. Typically it's a Wednesday that he speaks to the media, but with the Monday night football game, everything's been shifted back one day. So that's D'Amico Rhines. Meeting with the media. C.J. Stroud, we will have C.J. Stroud for you at 4:40 coming up in the next hour, and we'll be rocking and rolling. I got two things right there, two things from what D'Amico said that I think we got to circle back to, and we will do that in Dirty's Daily. We'll do it next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.